Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4 this morning, and going to kind of piggyback this message off the message from last week a little bit, and kind of may hit some of the same area just a tad, but for the most part, I'm going to try to hit this from a little bit different angle, and I'll kind of explain that as we go into this. I thought about giving you a more lengthy text this morning, but I'm just going to jump right into it, and I'm going to look at the one verse that we're going to jump off of. And this is the book of Colossians. At the very end of this, it's very common for Paul's letters. He always ends these with this list of people he's saying howdy to. You know, he's say hi to so-and-so, and, you know, it's very personal the way he'll end these letters to these churches. And so you have this here at the end, and, it talks about, is it Tychicus and Onesimus and Aristarchus and Marcus. And but verse number 12, we're going to look at part about what he says about this man named Epaphras. So Colossians chapter 4, verse number 12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. We're going to get to that in a moment. Last week, we looked at the idea of being complete or filled in our lives with Christ. Was it chapter 2, verse number 10? It says, and you are complete in him. We saw that Christ was supreme overall. That's a great theme of the first two chapters, is the greatness of Christ, infinite in glory and power. We saw that our own depravity, that hole, that chasm we have in our hearts, can never be filled by our own works. It takes Christ, it takes God to fill that, to complete us. The only way to be complete and whole is through Christ. Now, it's kind of a high-level view of the subject. It sounds really good on paper. But sometimes you got to look at it from a little bit of a lower view. And I'll explain this because there's not really a contradiction here. But in chapter 2, verse 10, it says, you are complete. And then here in chapter 4, verse 12, he's saying that you could be, that you may, that you will be complete. I think this is a lower level view of this. Let me talk about this and kind of two things. Here a while back, it's not the best illustration, but it's funny. It's funny now looking back. Here a while back, our hot water heater quit working and it was tripping the breaker. Well, I am no plumber. I am no electrician. I can make enough trips to Lowe's to make myself qualified as a plumber, but that's about the only thing I can claim there. But okay, so on the high level view, you fix the water heater, right? I mean, that's just the high level view. But on the low level view, there's a lot more to that. And Dad can testify to some of this. I drained the water heater. I was like, okay, I've replaced the elements before. No big deal. I've had element. We've got a bunch of stuff in our water. It's kind of hard and that stuff, calcium or whatever it is. I don't even know what it is, but it builds up in there. And so anyway, I drain the hot water heater. It's got two elements. Put two new elements in there. Fill it back up. Trips the breakers again. Okay, well, I do some more reading, and it said, maybe it's the thermostat. Thermostat could be bad. So I look. Okay, that's not too bad. Wasn't too bad to replace the thermostat. Never done it, but I watched a YouTube video, and okay, we can handle this. So I replaced the thermostat, drained it, you know, put new elements, put new thermostat, just, you know, replace all that. Still trips the breakers. I'm talking to Lee Davis. Y'all know him. He does plumbing. So I called him. I'm like, Lee, what in the world is this? He's the one that taught me how to do the elements because he got tired of coming over to my house and doing them. So he showed me how to do it. But I said, Lee, what is this? He says, well, sometimes there's that anode thing that's in the middle there, in the middle of a water heater. He said, it could be that it's bent or, you know, something. He said, see if you can push it away, make sure it's not touching the element. So drain the water heater, pull out the one of the elements, and I push on that thing, you know, stick something in there and push on it, fill it back up. Breaker still trip. So this point, I'm at a loss. Call my dad. I'm like, Dad, what in the world? And this is trouble. This is blind leading the blind when me and him get involved in plumbing. So he says, let's go get a new water heater. He says, I'm like, because what else could it be? There must be something wrong with the water heater. So we go to Lowe's. He gets a water heater for me, helps me out with that. We go back, put it in. Everything's working fine. The breaker still trips. So what in the world? Well, my neighbor, Larry Seibert, works for Encore. He does some, he's a lineman, so he knows electricity. I call him up. I'm like, Larry, I hate to ask you, but there's something electrical going on here. I said, it can't be the water heater at this point, but that breaker keeps tripping. He said, oh, I'll come over and look at it. And so he's got the tools and the meters and all that kind of stuff. So he comes over and he looks at it and he says, He said, I don't know. He said, everything looks right. He says, it almost has to be a short in the wire between the breaker and the in the water heater. So he says, go to Lowe's, buy you a new length of wire, and we'll run a temporary. So I go to Lowe's. I told you I'm qualified to be a plumber on trips to Lowe's. So I go to Lowe's. I buy a new length of wire. He tells me, you know, the gauge and everything to get. So I go, and he kind of hooks up a temporary. We just hook it in the box and run it kind of across our washer and dryer in there, just hooked up this temporary just to test it. Hook that up, so bypass the, you know, the cabling that's already there. We hook it up. Everything looks okay. Well, it must have been that. About an hour later, the breaker trips again. I said, Larry, I don't know what in the world this is. I don't know. He said, I've never seen anything like this. And I'm talking to Lee, and he's like, I've never seen anything like this. I was telling my neighbor Larry, I said, could it be the breakers? Or anyway, he's like, breakers don't really go bad. It can't be that. He said, but you might as well try it. So I go to Lowe's, I buy a breaker. Bill's already nodding his head over there. Guess what was wrong the whole time? The breaker was bad. Now, the low level practical solution was a little bit more difficult than the high level of fix the water heater. Basically, by the time, like I say, I ended up with a new water heater, all kinds of new stuff there by the time this was done, when all it was a, you know, I don't know what it was, a $15, $20, you know, breaker, whatever that was. I can't remember how much it was now. The low level, it gets a little bit more complicated when you actually get into trying to fix the problem. May not be the best illustration, but I want you to understand where I'm coming from a little bit, a high and a low level here, because sometimes high-level solutions, they sound simple, but they aren't practical. Last week, we talked about finding completeness in Christ, fullness in Christ. That's very high level. We know it's true, but and maybe we can appreciate that on this grand theological scale that, yes, Christ completes me in Him. I am saved and I'll never be lost because He completes me. But what does that look like day to day? What does it look like in that lower level of looking at it practically? Again, here in the book of Colossians, our text is the midst. There's a number of personal greetings I told you about. He mentions Epaphras. Epaphras is mentioned three times in Scripture. Twice here in Colossians in chapter 1, here in chapter 4, and then once in the book of Philemon. We don't know a lot about him, but he does appear to be a faithful preacher, minister of Christ. He's from Colossae, from that area at least. They know him. He's there with Paul. Paul describes him in Philemon as a fellow prisoner. A lot of people assume that he must have come to Rome and to help Paul, but because of the preaching or something, got arrested too, so he was there in the jail with Paul. So, like I said, that's an assumption a lot of people make because we just don't have a lot of information here. Yet bonds do not stop the duty of the Christian, nor do they limit the power. We find him still vitally active in the ministry of prayer. It says, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. What is it he prays for so earnestly for his brothers and sisters back home in Colossae? He says, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras knows the Christians back home, they've got some growth to do. First, he prays that they would be perfect. That is, to be complete or mature. It's like saying a boy grows up to be a man. Now, you don't statically stay in one state. You know, you turn 18, 21, whatever you want to look at, and like, that boy is now a man. And eventually he loses hair, his belly gets out, you know, and all that. You know, he keeps changing, but there's a point where you say he is now a man. That's kind of the idea behind this. You've attained a new state, completely grown and mature. Second, he says that you may be complete. This is the same word that's used back in chapter 2, verse number 9, where it talks about the fullness of God that's in Christ, that Christ is completely God. It's the same word that's in chapter 2, verse number 10. We talked about this last week. That says we are complete, that we are filled, that hole in us is filled with Christ. That's the word he uses. He says, I want you to be complete, full, whole. You see the difference from what we looked at last week. In chapter 2, verse number 10, it says, and ye are complete. That's a static, yes or no, binary answer. Yes, I'm complete. No, I'm not complete. But then here in chapter 4, verse number 12, and I'm going to get technical in the grammar on this, but it says that ye may stand perfect and complete. It says that you will be, but it's a process. We're still working on this, but you are going to be complete. Well, how can you both be complete and being made complete? Here's how. They were, now already a fact, saved from the penalty of sin. Their names written in heaven, they've already been made joint heirs with Christ. That is a fact. They are complete in Christ. But they are still ongoing, being saved, overcoming the power of sin in their daily lives. This ongoing process is what the Bible calls sanctification. I love that word. It's a great doctrine you don't hear enough about. It's how God keeps working on us to make us more spiritual, to make us more Christ-like. Every believer that trusts in Christ is saved. Yes or no, yes or no, you are saved or you're not saved. Every believer that trusts in Christ is being saved. They are being sanctified. God's helping them to overcome sin. One day, our lives will be completely free. You get into this, it's the three tenses of salvation. We were saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin. We will be saved from the very presence of sin. And God is working in our lives right now to complete us, to fill us, if you will. He's molding us into his masterpiece, making us into the image of Christ. It's an ongoing process. It's a struggle. Let me put it this way. God saves us completely from our sin debt, but then he works to completely save us from sin. Okay? The sin won't be attached to me when I get to heaven, but while I'm still down here, God's still smoothing the rough edges. God's still washing feet, if you want to use that example. God's still working to make us better and holier and more complete. Right now, we're in that sorry, you kind of jumped ahead. By the way, we have the wonderful assurance that God will fully complete the work. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he, that's God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Christ. He says he started it, he's going to finish it. There's safety, there's security, there's assurance in there. One day, every child of God will stand before him in righteousness, complete and whole, void of even the stain of sin. That's saved from the very presence of sin, like I told you about. But right now, in this middle stage, we've been saved from penalty of sin. One day we'll be completely free from sin, presence of sin. But right now, God's working to completely transform us. God is working to mold us and shape us. It's a slow, slow process. I kind of thought about the folks that have to go to rehab after a surgery, thinking like your sister and some of these. I've never had to do it. I hope to God I never have to, because I've seen the torture stories. I hear how those rehab people were trained by, you know, Nazi interrogators or something, and just how awful they are. You'll be confessing to the JFK assassination before too long in there. It's a process. You go in, if you have your knee replaced, that's very common now, But you have that, you go in, you go from, man, I can barely walk, I can barely put, and they'll work it out, they'll work it out. And then pretty soon, after a few weeks of that process, it's, you're almost good as new. That's the process. And it's a very similar thing to what God does in us. He's helping us grow. He's helping us. He's helping to make us whole and complete. I want to look back in Colossians. We're going to start in chapter 3, and I'm going to highlight a few things going through here, trying not to take too much time. Be honest, the pages got away from me on this one, so I'm probably going to skim some of this. I want to see some of the practical things that he has for us to help complete us, to mature us, to strengthen us, to grow us in Christ, some different actions, some different needs, some different areas that we need to work to be made more complete, more like him, more conformed to the ideal that we see in the Scripture. The first thing I want us to see is a change of heart, a change of heart. And this is Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek. Put your heart on this. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It's a wonderful Christian doctrine that teaches us while we are not yet in heaven yet, one day we will be, and there's a certain aspect where God looks at us as if we're already there, as if we've already been made perfect. It's like we're already there. No, we're not. We have new life in Christ. We have eternal life that we will inherit when this earthly life ends. But God kind of sees it all as one. So to help complete us, we need to set our hearts not on this transient situation that we're in now, but on what it will be to be complete, on a more heavenly state, a more heavenly line of thinking. To help complete us, we have to set our hearts on things higher than this world. I can walk into your home today and I can tell you what you value in your life. Wouldn't be that hard. Pictures of grandkids? Anybody guilty? if you enjoy music, you're going to have instruments. You're going to have a record player. You're going to have, you enjoy coffee. There's going to be Keurigs and all kinds of the bells and whistles, and maybe some of you are weird and have the French press and all that kind of fancy stuff. But I can walk in and I will know. You got a shed full of hobby stuff, your she shed. have you got all your woodworking stuff out there? I'll know what's important to you. Your kitchen, I can tell if you think you're Gordon Ramsay or not by, walk in and see how much importance you put, because it just reflects where your heart is. It affects the things around you. It affects how you live. None of the things I mentioned, none of those are bad, they're evil, but we're called to have higher affections, higher goals, higher desires. Heard a story a while back, I don't remember who told this, I wish I could, but heard a preacher say that he was invited out to eat, this couple, and come over to their house, brand new house, beautiful house. I won't say the couple is older, retired, and this was their dream home they had built. Said just gorgeous, all the bells and whistles, everything there, the ornate molding and just all everything, just a picture, looked like it came right off HGTV. I mean, just beautiful. Except for the floors. Said when he walked in, the floors were just the plain old slab. Not stained. Gary's got the stained floor. You can do that, make it look really nice. Not even stained, just the plain old concrete. And preacher's like, hey, this house is really nice. I'm like, well, yeah, you're dying to ask about the floors, aren't you? He said, well, I was kind of wondering what about the floors. The couple said, here's the story. We're building this house, and as we're in the process here, we're at church, missions conference, and missionary presented a great need. I think it was a building, if I remember the story. I may be mixing stories up, but I believe the story is that they needed like a church building or something. And they said, we need X amount of money to do this. And said the couple looked at each other and said, we're building this big old nice house, and these believers over here across the world don't even have a place to meet. Is this right? And they said, well, how much does he need? Found out. And it's like, well, that's what it costs for our floors. So here they built their giant, beautiful house. And they said, these are our mission floors because we didn't need that fancy flooring. We'd rather give it. That's having higher affections. That's having a higher level of things. That's a change of heart. That's a change of heart. Christ said, Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's an ongoing battle. That's not just a one time, I'm going to change my heart. That's something you wake up every morning and you have to fight to make sure that your heart is aligned. And you'll get going good. You'll get things figured out. And then I like to joke about it. You drive by James Wood and that truck winks at you. and suddenly like, oh, I think I need that new truck. You get things straight and then, hey, here's a new job opportunity. You can make so much more money if you'll just do this. And every day, multiple times a day, you need to check your affections. Make sure that they're realigned. I thought about this after I printed this. I remember years ago reading the book Hiding Place, Corey Ten Boom. And one of the things that's always stuck with me is not even the story about how they hid the Jews, but the very beginning, her dad worked on clocks. And I think it was like once a week, he would take the train and he would go to the Capitol where there was the official time, the official clock. And he would take a small, I don't know, there was a watch or a small clock that was very accurate. And he would go and he would set it to precisely and sync it up to that standard that they had. He'd take the train back home and every clock in the house and the clock he worked on, he set to that watch. That's the way he had to go about. Makes you thankful for cell phones that just automatically do it nowadays. But that's what he would do. But he couldn't just do that once because those old clocks with the springs, they'd speed up, they'd slow down, the weather and all kinds of things would affect them. He had to continually check that. We need to continually check where our heart is. Continually check it up to make sure it's set to God's standard time and not ours. The second thing I want us to see is to change our behavior. Change your behavior. For sake of time, I'm going to skip through these verses, but Colossians 3, verses 5 through 14, there's a whole list of things he says to avoid. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, concupiscence. I was trying my hardest to say that one right. Covetous, idolatry. And then you go down a little bit later and it talks about things that should be there once you put on a new man. Chapter 3, verse 12, it talks about kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness, all these different ideas. So there's some things you shouldn't do, you need to run away from. There's some things you need to run to. This is changing our behavior. You use the truth of God's word to guide us in how we act. Things that are wrong and evil should be shunned. Do I need to list them out? Paul had to list it out to them. Do we need to list that out? I think we're all pretty intelligent enough to know most things are bad, and we know. I'll say most things, but the things that are bad, we can identify pretty easily. You don't need to keep these things as a pet. You wouldn't keep a rattlesnake as a pet in your bedroom. You wouldn't keep a 5-gallon bucket of cyanide in your kitchen. Why? Those things are deadly. They're dangerous. You wouldn't keep them around, but yet we'll hold on to sin in our life. By the way, in the grand scheme of things, what's more dangerous, it's not the rattlesnake or the cyanide, it's the sin that we have. We got to change our perspective on that. Ask yourself, in doing whatever we are doing, am I glorifying Christ? Am I setting a good example for others to follow? Am I displaying faith and hope and love? Am I following in the image and the actions and the heart of Christ? The third thing I want us to see is a change in relationships, a change in relationships. This is in verses 18 of chapter 3, on down into the first verse of chapter number 4. It talks about wives and husbands and children and fathers and servants and masters. We're getting on a societal level, the interaction of all these human relationships. Do you realize that God works on you to complete you, but he also uses others in that process too? You realize he uses you to help complete others? Iron sharpeneth iron from the book of Proverbs. In my observation, I think most cases people will greatly improve their lives and even their spiritual walks by working on improving their relationships with the people around them. I think you can strengthen your walk with God. Now, it's kind of cart and horse, but yes, strengthen your walk with God and it'll help you with your relationship. But I'm going to tell you, I think if you would start working on your relationships, it'll help your walk with God. Most people want a happy, healthy home. They just don't want to put the work in. They don't want the effort. They just want to be able to sit back, prop their feet up, and have it happen. It doesn't work that way. Drive by and see these very well-manicured lawns. I love to see. In fact, I've got to follow. If anybody see the guy on the internet, there's a couple people. There's one guy, I think it's SB Mowing, the guy that goes to these like abandoned houses and it's so cool. He gets out he'll take these like very bad overgrown houses and just manicure that lawn. It just looks so good, the transformation that takes place. But I like seeing I respect a well-manicured lawn. I respect the great kind of English-style gardens and things. I love it. Am I ever going to do it? No. You know why? I don't want to devote that much time and energy to it. It's not that important to me. If it's important to you, that's fine. That's great. Everybody's got their thing. That's not my thing, but I do appreciate it. I've got bigger things to worry about than yard of the month. I'm not picking on that. We could talk about restoring cars. We could talk about a number of things in that realm that I love and I respect. I like to see. But it takes work to have that. So if you look at it and say, I want that yard, I just don't want to work at it. That's not how this works. If you say, I want that kind of marriage, I want that kind of home, I want that kind of workplace, I want that kind of church, it takes effort. It takes effort. You have to work on your marriage. You have to work on your family. You have to work on your coworkers. You have to work on your church. To be complete in Christ means you need to work on your relationships. And by the way, let your relationships work on you a little bit too. We're not in this alone. The fourth thing I want us to see is a change of Christian walk. I had a hard time putting up a title on this one, but this is chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, and just kind of wrapping up this chapter before he gets into the all the personal greetings there at the end. It says, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You look at these things that are mentioned here. Pray. Give thanks to God. Pray for others. Pray for the ministry. There's preaching in there, the preaching of the gospel. It says, watch how you walk. Make sure you're walking the walk. You're not just talking the talk, you're walking the walk. Don't waste your time or your chances. Redeem your time. Make good use of it. Speak wholesome words. Be kind. Be uplifting to others. Friends, I think you look at that list. If you can raise your hand and say, oh, I got that down, Pat, you need to work on your lying, okay? Because that list right there is enough to keep us busy. There's not any of us who could look at that and say, I pray enough, I pray right enough, or my words are as good as they ought to be. My conversations are as helpful and loving as they ought to be. My walk is totally, kind of like that rich young ruler who went to Christ. Christ said, oh, have you kept, of course I've kept all the commandments. Once again, go back to, he missed the one about lying right there because he hadn't really kept all the commandments. No one ever had. But we need to change our Christian walk. To be complete in Him, to grow in Christ, is to have this, is to develop this mature, consistent Christian walk that's on display for the world to see, on display for our families to see. And it's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. Pray. You know, add a few other things. Read your Bible. Go to church. It's so simple. If I asked you, what does a Christian do? Name 10 things. You could do it. How hard is it to do those things? But we need to strive and continue and grow and increase in these things to become more complete in Him. wrap this up. Musician, y'all go ahead and come on up just real quickly here. A few statements here to wrap up. Just because we are complete, like I said, the Colossians 2:10 complete in him, doesn't mean we don't need to be completed. That's the chapter 4, verse 12, completed. Yes, I am whole in Christ. God's not going to look down and say, well, sorry, you didn't pray enough. You don't get to come to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. I can find completeness and fulfillment in him, but I still have some work to do. Keep working, keep striving, keep pressing forward. Setbacks happen. The Christian walk is not linear where you just start and you just slowly and it just gets better and better and better and better. Like kind of like what you want your 401k to look like, you know, when you check it. Is this a steady growth? But you know what? It's just like the stock market. It's up and down. It's up and down. It's up and down. That's life. That's reality. It's one step forward, two steps back. Two steps forward, one step back. It's ups and downs. But what you need to be able to do is not say, ah, boy, this week I think I'm closer to God. But can you say, I'm closer to God than I was 10 years ago? How about a year ago? Look at it in the long term. That's why you have to look at your investments. You have to look at them long term. Look at your Christian walk and say, am I getting closer? Am I more effective? Is my heart more? If I look in the mirror, the spiritual mirror, am I more like Christ? Do I see more of him or less of me? The last thing is, it's useful to try to complete. There's a tendency in this to get this completeness mixed up, where what we want to do is say, well, Christ, yes, you complete us, but that completion's on me. I have to complete myself. That's not what I'm saying. There is fulfillment only in Christ. That fulfillment only comes in seeking him. But you can't have the Colossians 4:12 completeness without the Colossians 2:10 completeness. It starts when we find Christ, when he fills our heart and our soul. And then this process where we work on things comes in. If you get that backwards, it's wrong. If you get this backwards, it's what Ephesians 2:8 and 9 warns you about. It becomes about works. It becomes about how good we are and what I do. That's not the grand scale of things. The grand scale of things is Christ. Is Christ. Christ alone. Not us. Christ and Christ alone. Do you know him as your Savior? You can try to walk the walk all you want to, but without Christ, it's useless. God's not impressed. God, I lived the perfect Christian life. I prayed. I tithed. I gave the missions. And he said, but you never knew my son. And what Christ says over in the book of Matthew, says the people come to him and say, hey, we prophesied. We did all this stuff in your name. He says, I never knew you. I don't know who you are. Starts with knowing him. You start with the completeness we talked mainly about last week. But then we need to get busy in that work of completing, sanctifying, making ourselves more like him. It's our challenge this morning. What are we doing to make ourselves more like him? Olin, what number? 312 from the Baptist hymnal for our invitation hymn. If you'll stand, please. 312. Have a time of invitation here this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, a lot of simple thoughts this morning. Lord, sometimes we just need to be reminded of what to do. We know deep down. You grow up in church. You go to church week after week. You know what's right. You know what's true. Sometimes we just need to be reminded to keep pressing forward, encouraged to keep moving on, encouraged to step beyond the struggles, the falls we may have, but keep pressing forward and growing in you. Their hearts are deepened, our knowledge is deepened, our actions are increased. Lord, challenge us to keep moving on. Lord, we'll never be full or perfect in this world. That's coming for us. But let's press towards that. Let's not just sit back, but let's press towards and try to get ourselves as ready for heaven as we can, as close to that perfect model of Christ as we can in our hearts. Challenge us to move forward in all things this morning, I pray in thy holy name.